morning, everybody.
Good morning.
For those of you who don't know me, my name's Fiona. I'm a member of the congregation here. And it is lovely that we can actually meet together and worship God today. For those who are present here in person, it is lovely to see you. And for those who will be listening into the recording, you are very welcome as well. Before we start with a very well-known, beautiful hymn, 10,000 Reasons, I just thought we'd reflect for a minute on singing and why we do it so often in church. And this little book by a Christian, Philip Percival, Rediscovering God's Purposes for Singing in Church, gives some really beautiful insights. He says there are two things. We are to sing to build up the church in the gospel, and we are to sing to offer our heart's response of thanks and praise to God. He does quote from Ephesians, and in the letter to the people in Ephesus, Paul says this: "Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." And this is one of the great privileges when we do meet together. Things work in many different directions. We are actually singing to one another. Try doing that by yourself. And we also sing to God, the one who gives us all things. And as we are singing, it is also training us for godly living. So can I encourage you, as we start off singing 10,000 Reasons, that you would stand and join with us as we worship our wonderful God, who is worthy of all praise.
His holy name.
end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship Your holy name.
When we come together and worship, it is a great delight for our souls. Please have a seat. In that song, we were reminded of God's character, that He's rich in love, slow to anger. He is an awesome God. And just before we join in a prayer, I'd like you just to spend a quiet moment settling your heart, getting other things that might distract you, quietly praying about them before we come together to pray together. Please join with me as we confess to God together. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are repentant according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Loving Father, we thank you that you are a God who forgives all who come and ask you for forgiveness. We thank you also that you are a God who reveals yourself through your word. Please, Lord, keep speaking to us in our struggles, in our doubts, in our joyful times when we're exhausted. Please continue to speak your words of life that we may continue to follow in your ways. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would like to open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 20, verse 19, and we're going to hear two Bible readings. Thank you, Max.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. The first reading, thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The first reading is from John 20, 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." When he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The second reading is from Hebrews 10, 32, 11 to 1. Remember those early days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were threatened. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourself had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have drawn the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, and but my righteous one will live by faith, and take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, let's see how I go. Good. I have a voice. I don't know how long it's going to last for, though. I have some reinforcements down below here to help me, just in case my voice starts to go like that. All right. So turn your hearing aids up and listen in intently to God speak to you from his word. Today we're thinking about Thomas and what we can learn from him from the Bible. Thomas, an example of hope when we doubt. Loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you, as Fiona has said, for gathering us here this morning in obedience to your word to encourage one another, as we learnt last week, as the day is drawing near when, Jesus, you will come again and you will take us to be with yourself. We must persevere and we must encourage each other to keep persevering. Lord, may we learn from Thomas today and how you dealt with him to help us to persevere in those times of doubt when we're tempted to move away from you, even though you never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, help me to teach your word correctly and sustain my voice over this time so that we can hear you speak to us through your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, who was Thomas? What do we know of him from the Bible? Well, Thomas was one of the disciples of Jesus. He's mentioned in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Thomas was his Hebrew name, but his equivalent name in the Greek was Didymus. Interestingly, Thomas and Didymus both mean twin, but we never hear anything anywhere of Thomas's twin in the Gospels. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Thomas is only mentioned in the listing of the apostles. But in John's Gospel, Thomas gets more of a mention. On three occasions, his words are very significant. On each occasion, we learn something of the person of the Thomas of the New Testament, and a little of our own personality as well. The first occasion occurs near the end of Jesus' earthly ministry in chapter 11. In chapter 10, we read some Jewish leaders in Judea were plotting Jesus' death. Jesus and the disciples received news that their friend Lazarus was dying. Lazarus' hometown of Bethany was near Jerusalem in Judea. Jesus wanted to go to Lazarus, but fearing for the consequences, the disciples tried to talk Jesus out of it. But Jesus was set on going. It was Thomas, that spoke up and said to the other disciples, Thomas, he said, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us go, that we may die with him. Thomas's readiness to go with Jesus, despite the consequences and the calling of his other disciples, could point him out or paint him as someone who was hearty and foolhardy and impetuous, or extremely courageous and loyal to Jesus. I think Thomas was a little bit of both in that statement. Let us go, that we may die with him. There have been times, I'm sure, when our awareness of our faith in God and our conviction to serve him, like Thomas, has been so strong that we've not been afraid to make a stand for Christ like Thomas and call others to follow us. I'm sure you can remember a day and a time when you did that. I'll come back to the second mention. But the third time we read of Thomas is in chapter 20. Our reading Max read to us this morning. Thanks, Max. It's the week after Jesus had died, and he's now risen from the dead, very much alive. Here we read of Thomas's struggle with doubts and questions, as we sometimes do. Previously, the week before, Jesus had appeared to the other disciples, but Thomas happened to not be present. Why Thomas was not there, we don't know, other than to assume for the purpose that would unfold. When the disciples told Thomas they had seen the resurrected Lord, Thomas' reply was, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." With those famous words, Thomas earned the nickname that he would be remembered by throughout history: Doubting Thomas. For Thomas and for many of us, seeing is believing. But Thomas's doubts was no opposition to what could have been to him the truth. I take it his doubt was a genuine desire to know the truth for himself. For an earlier in chapter 14, the second mention of Thomas in John's Gospel, John recorded that when Jesus had warned the disciples of his death and resurrection, and that he was going to his Father's house to prepare a place for them, and that he would come back and take them to be with him, that where he would be, they will be also, and that they knew the way to where he was going, the disciples were confused of Jesus' mysterious language about what he meant. But Thomas honestly desired for clarity, and his inquisitive and impetuous nature prompted him to put up his hand and blurt out, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered Thomas with the words we Christians all know too well. I'll get you to say them. What did he say? What did Jesus say back to him? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus wasn't talking about knowing directions or of a location but knowing a person, knowing him. And when Thomas told the other disciples that he needed to prove to believe that Jesus had risen, he was speaking really honestly. Sincere faith does not prohibit sincere investigation. I'll say that again. Sincere faith does not prohibit sincere investigation. 8 days after Jesus' resurrection, the disciples met together again. This time, Thomas was present, and Jesus appeared to them once more, and he invited Thomas to touch the wounds and to see for himself. "Put your finger here, Thomas. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Jesus knew what Thomas needed to believe, and he provided the evidence. Jesus lovingly met Thomas at the exact point of his need and then guided him back to faith. Faith in the way. Faith in the person and work of Jesus and his words. There is nothing wrong with being honest with God about our doubts and questions. Sincere faith does not prohibit sincere investigation. He understands our struggles and is quite capable of strengthening our faith. Like Thomas, after sincere investigation into who Jesus is, what he has done, what he has said, we too are able to confess of Jesus as Thomas did, "My Lord and my God," in full confidence of who Jesus is, because "you have seen me," Jesus says to Thomas, "you believed." Blessed are those like us here gathered who have not seen and yet have believed. These words of Jesus reach down through the ages to help and encourage all of us who have not seen the resurrected Christ and yet have believed in him. And I hope and I pray that they do the same for us today. In the end, the nickname Doubting Thomas, I think, is a rather unfortunate one for Thomas. It's true that Thomas demanded evidence of the miracle of Christ's resurrection before he accepted the truth. Doubt factored into his response to his friends, but it was not the defining quality of his life. Thomas should be better known for his loyalty, his courage, his obedience to the gospel, and his faith. The painting that has been on the screen, does anybody know who it's by? I'll try and say the Italian name. Michelangelo Maresi di Caravaggio. How's that? Caravaggio? Yeah, 17th century, around the turn of it, 1601, 1602. It's actually called the Incredulity of St. Thomas. Incredulity meaning unwillingness to believe. In life-size form, it shows the encounter that gave rise, unfortunately, to the saying, Doubting Thomas. But in the painting, Thomas's face shows surprise as Jesus holds his hand and guides it into the wound. The two other figures are believed to be Peter and John. Even though they have already seen Jesus alive after his death, they are still willing to study the wounds, as if to still need reassurance of the Lord's resurrection. Thomas has unfairly been tarnished with the name of Doubting Thomas, when in fact he's like you and me, isn't he? Mora, reassure me, Thomas. When we consider some of the other disciples, Peter denied Jesus three times, but we don't call Peter the denier. Or do we call James and John, who wanted to sit next to Christ at the table, we don't call him the opportunist James and John, do we? So I think Thomas did get his name of Doubting Thomas rather unfairly. But remember, Jesus didn't tell him off when they met. Jesus didn't rebuke him. Tell him off for his unbelief. Jesus simply showed him the scars of his body, the work of his wounds, and reminded him of his word. Still Doubting is a modern painting painted by John Granville Gregory. It's based on Caravaggio's composition, but set in contemporary context. Jesus is reacting exactly the same way when confronted with our 21st century doubters. As he did for Thomas, Jesus is seen in the painting to simply be showing us the proof again of his scars, the work of his wounds, and we hear him reminding us of his words. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And with the words of the Apostle John, who witnessed verses 30 and 31, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Little do we realize that Thomas's response to what he saw and heard are probably some of the most important words in the Gospels, if we come to think of it. Thomas encapsulates in his five words who Jesus is, and whom we have come to find him to be, or searching to find him to be. Truly human, my Lord, and truly divine, my God. Like Thomas, we all have experienced moments of doubt and difficulty in our faith. But remember what Jesus' reply to Thomas was. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Brothers and sisters in Christ, and those who are listening in, brothers and sisters in Christ, or those who are seeking and listening in, Christ has promised us that one day we will meet him. We will see him. Maybe even touch him like Thomas, surrounded by his love. Till that moment of meeting him, by faith, then by sight, may we say in amazement of Jesus, my Lord and my God. Remember those early days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering? Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and say, may God bless his word to us this day and encourage us in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just take a moment to reflect on how God has been speaking to you this morning. In our songs, we're reminded about God's character, who he is, what he does, what he says. And a beautiful reminder, which picks up the words of Malachi, I, the Lord, do not change. What a great comfort that is. People change, they're unreliable, but God never changes. Please stand as we sing together, You Never Change.
Change.
casting our crowns, praising your grace, for you never change yesterday, today and forever. Always the same yesterday, today and forever. Jesus our Lord, worship your name, for you never change yesterday, today and forever. Always the same yesterday, today and forever. Jesus our Lord, faithful and true, day after day your name, for you never change.
Please sit or kneel for prayer. Oh, I made a mistake. I'm very sorry. Please stand as we confess what we believe. Whoops, that was wrong. Christians for generations have believed essential truths about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So for those who are still seeking, you may not feel ready to say this, but for those who are, let us encourage each other as we state together what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Maybe now's a good time to sit or kneel. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Loving Father, we thank you and praise you for all the children that you have given us here. We thank you for Karen, for Megan, for Emily, for Anthony. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to teach your word to the next generation. And we pray for our teachers that they would faithfully care for these kids well and teach them in ways that bring you glory. And we pray also for their parents through the week that are teaching them every day, that you would help them persevere and to love you well by loving and teaching their kids well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's continue in prayer. Merciful Lord, you alone can order our unruly wills and affections. Teach us to love what you command and to desire what you promise, that among the changes and chances of this world, our hearts may surely be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, ruler of the nations of the earth, we pray that you would give wisdom to Elizabeth, the Queen of Australia, to the Prime Minister of Australia, Scott Morrison, the Premier of this state, Gladys Berejiklian, and to all the members of Parliament, and to all who hold office in this land. Grant that their decisions may be based on wise counsel. Protect them from corruption and the temptations to serve themselves, so that peace and welfare, truth and justice may prevail among us, and make us a blessing to other nations through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for those who serve us in the defence and police forces, the fire brigades and ambulance services. Give to them courage and protection and help us to be grateful for what they do and to support them with respect and honour. We particularly pray today and over the next coming month for prison chaplains. In this world of alienation and fragmentation, we thank you for the chaplains who work in prisons for peace and who bring wholeness and healing. We particularly pray for Bronwyn Kingdon, who is the chaplain to Dilwinia Women's Correctional Centre, Berkshire, and Wally Pospelage, who is the chaplain to Metropolitan Correctional Centre in Berkshire as well. We pray for them as they care for prisoners who face fear and isolation and are convinced that you have no interest in them or their lives. We pray that you will give to them wisdom and compassion as they comfort and advise and care for prisoners and for those who have been wounded by the actions of others, especially the victims of crime and the support they give the families and friends of detainees and prison staff. We commend all prison chaplains to your loving care and your almighty protection, especially in times of sadness, stress, and trauma. Stir up within them the spirit of generous service to enable their love for you and all your people to flood all prisons where they serve. And we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We also pray today for Kim Patterson in South County Dublin in Ireland. We acknowledge the impact of COVID-19 and the impact that it has had on her ministry, the difficulty in building relationships online rather than face to face. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that she has been reminded again and again through your word that she doesn't need to be anxious and that you provide for her every need with you, and with you all things are possible. We give praise to you for Black Rock Community Church and pray that you will equip her with the love and resources she needs to minister to the people there effectively and in a Christ-centered way. We also thank you for the forming of Illuminate Media, which Kim has worked hard to get up and running, and pray that she can creatively use this to spread your word and that it will provide a much needed income for her. We praise you, Lord, with Kim for the provision of a potential new housemate to share with her and for the increase in her contracted hours with Baptist missions to 2 days a week. We pray that as she meets with the young adults and international students around your word, that you will guide her words and open their eyes to all your promised riches in Christ, and that Kim may have joy and peace in knowing that you hold her in your hands. And we ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We praise you, Lord of all, for the gifts of Christ, our ascended King, for apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Hear our prayer for all who do not know your love and have not heard the gospel of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Send out your light and truth through the messengers of your word and bring many to saving trust in Christ. Help us to support them by our prayers and offerings and to commend the gospel ourselves by what we say and what we do. We pray that you will hasten the coming of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer set for today. God of wisdom and love, source of all good, send your spirit to teach us your truth and guide our actions in your way of peace. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care. Guide us in justice and truth. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and truth that we may tell of your saving works. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for each of us who have gathered today. We thank you that you are opening our eyes to your word and to your love and to your great deeds. Lord, we pray that you will help us to rest on your promises as we go through this day, through these weeks, through the months, and through the years. And we pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Few quick announcements. The engine of our church is prayer. Tomorrow night we will be having a prayer meeting in the church from 7 till 8 o'clock. You might not want to pray, but you can come and join us and be encouraged by others who are praying. We'd love to see you there. After the service, Dick and Barbara will be down the front here, and if there's anything you'd like prayer for or praise for, they'd be really happy to pray for you as well. Equip 21 is going to be a beautiful women's conference, which either you can register for yourself or Karen can help women to register if you like. But please sign up on the sheet on the back. We'd love to know that you're coming. And our service leaders and musicians will be meeting after the service today. So please join us for that if that's one of you. Next week we look forward to hearing about Jesus, the Lord we proclaim. And I would like to invite you now to join with us in singing another song. And this is a bit of an unusual song in a way, because Christians believe that while Jesus has ascended and he's up in heaven, he sends his Spirit and Christ lives in believers. So he helps me do what I can't do in my own strength. So please stand as we sing both to each other and to God about our awesome God and how he works.
In lonely sin.
thank you for joining us today. It's been lovely to be able to worship together. As you go, you may like to pick up the latest version of the Southern Cross with our new Archbishop, Kanishka Raphael, on the front, and enjoy reading that encouragement through the week. I'd like to close with the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forever. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.